Good morning. Good to see you. Thank you for those that are watching online. And this is what we call Celebration Weekend. And before I jump into the message, I want to take a few moments and share a few things about our church. And I'm excited about some things, and I hope you're excited about these things too. Number one, I'm excited about Christmas at Cross City. I know we're not even to Thanksgiving yet, but I'm still excited about Christmas. And I want to let you know that we are expanding our Christmas tree lighting this year. We're not going to do it on a Saturday night. We're going to do it on a Friday night. So I would love to invite all of you on that Friday night, December the 2nd, and we're just going to have a great time, and we're going to light all the lights and probably have Santa here and some food, and the frat house will be open. It'll be a really fun time. We're working on our Christmas teaching series, and we want that to be great, and we also want our Christmas Eve service to be amazing. And I've got to tell you this, it's kind of strange, but Christmas falls on Sunday. So we're going to have a family-friendly Christmas Sunday. We're going to have one service. I'm going to preach four times Christmas Eve, and I don't think I'm going to preach Christmas morning because I'll be drained. But maybe I will. I don't know. But we're going to have one service at 10 o'clock on Christmas Day. And so I think that would be great if you could be here for that. The second thing I'm excited about is our parking lot. Over here on the east, we just have a little gravel over there. But beginning in November, we're going to see some construction beginning on the east side. And when that happens, we're going to have to park other places, okay? It's going to be weird, but I want to encourage you to do that. And by Easter of 2023, we will have, last night I said there were 200 parking spots, and I was told this morning there were 340 parking spots, fully paved, covered parking spots with solar on top, which will provide a substantial saving to our PG&E bill. So that's pretty exciting. Third thing I'm excited about is Israel. In February of next year, we're taking about 85 people to the Holy Land, and we have a few spots left. If you're still thinking about it and you want to say yes to this spiritual bucket list trip, we would love for you to go, and about 20 of us are going to go to Rome afterwards, and I would love for you to maybe consider or pray about joining us on that trip. I also want to take a quick moment and say what I am thankful for. First of all, you know that I am thankful for you. I am so thankful for Cross City. Thank you for continuing to call Cross City your church home and choosing to invest your time, your talents, your treasure into the ministry, into the missions. Last week, we had over 100 people sign up to serve either inside the church or outside the church walls. And I just want to thank you so much for that. And I want to thank you for giving the one-day offering last year. By giving one day's wage over and above your tithe, we were able to remodel part of this worship center, and the entire lobby was remodeled, and we made a lot of fresh stuff over in the children's building, and we made a lot of substantial technology improvements for in person here on church and online. We made a lot of improvements, and I just want to thank you for that. I also got to tell you that a few months ago, maybe a month ago, somebody noticed that our roof on the children's center wasn't great. And so he doesn't want me to mention his name, but I want to. And he redid the whole roof on the children's center. And he did it for free. And he also redid the hub where our offices are and our preschool is over there. He did that too. And I have the number. I have the number how much he donated. And he said he didn't want, he just said, just say a few thousand. It was much, much larger than that. He is crazy generous, and I just, we're excited for that, and I'm so thankful for him. He helped us out a great deal. This weekend marks the end of our 90-day tithe challenge, where families in our church made the decisions to put God first in their finances through their giving. I wish we could all share some amazing stories, and I really can't do that, but we have a two-minute testimony from a lady named Monique Gonzalez. I want you to watch this.
Hi, my name is Monique Gonzalez. This is my daughter, Layla. I am new to Cross City, well, about a month and a half since I've been here, so I'm very excited to be here. And I decided to take the tithe challenge because I felt God put calling on my heart to say, hey, this is something that you should do. And honestly, just seeing like the impact it has on the church. The church was talking about how kids got to go to camp and stuff like that. And it was just so powerful to me because it's like you see it every day and you see how people, kids are affected worldwide, not just here and locally, but worldwide. And so that's important to me to give back in a sense. And I'm from a small town. So when I heard about the backpacks for Parlier and stuff like that, that meant a lot to me because I grew up from a family that didn't have much. So to know that churches and our tithing and gifts to things like that, that meant a lot to me. So it kind of comes around full circle. The hardest part definitely is, battling myself. Because, you know, we create budgets and we're like, okay, I got this. And to me, it was like, all right, Monique, you can get your Starbucks every day at work. You can go and tithe, you know, give your 10%. Because it's not yours to begin with. We get 90%. God gives us a lot to work with. So I think the hardest was just like, organizing myself, and before I would be like, okay, I got gas, groceries, you know, but now it's like automatic, nope, tithing's first, then everything else will fill in, and it does, it all works out. You know, it's crazy because when I didn't tithe, I promise you, I would feel like I did not have the finances. I would struggle. There would be times, and as a single mother, that I could not pay my rent. And so I would just stress about it, and I wasn't tithing, and it's crazy because now it's like, and I'm actively in tithing, and it makes me happy to do it. It just like it's just crazy how God gives us more than we can imagine. So I promise you, there is enough. Like even if you feel like, oh man, that's $100 that I can use towards PG&E or something. I know everything's so expensive right now, gas, groceries, everything. However, like, God will provide for you. Like, trust him. It's just second nature now, and I'm so happy I'm doing it.
Okay, I'm excited about things. I'm thankful for things. And now I want to give you a few challenges. During COVID, we had this challenge that we wanted you to pray every day at 2:17. And we wanted you to pray. And I really believe that our church, all of us, we need to pray every single day. We need to talk to God. We need to have an open discussion with him. And we really want to be a church that prays constantly. And I just want to challenge you to do that. The second thing I want to challenge you is to commit to attending Cross City regularly. Not once a month, regularly. And I'm blown away that we have over 1,000 people online every weekend, and that's very awesome. But if you are physically able, I think you should commit to attending Cross City in person. I know it's a lot more convenient to attend couch church and watch it on your laptop. I get that. But it's really important that you be here. We haven't seen a lot of people since COVID, and I really miss them. I really do. And it's kind of weird. But the third thing I want to do is I want to consider that you would possibly go public for Cross City. On your way out, there's a few tents over there. There's some cheesy stuff. There's some free stuff. We have some hand sanitizer. We're going to have food out there. You can eat all that. And one of the things we want to do is we want to hand out these stickers We have two different kinds, and you can put them on your car, and we would love to see these stickers all over the city of Fresno and Clovis. I think it would be great if you would take one of these and put it on your car. I know some of you don't want to, but I would challenge you to do that. I think all these stickers will let a lot of people know that we are part of the Cross City family. So I got to jump into the message right now, and I got to tell you the danger of pride and pretense. We're going to start reading in chapter 13, verse 18. Of course, the title, it's a classic novel, Jane Austen. She wrote a book in 1813 called Pride and Prejudice. It's a book about romance in rural England, and I was required to read it in high school, and I just read the Cliff Note versions, and most kids don't know what Cliff Note versions are today. But there's a lot, this Pride and Prejudice, there are so many spoofs and parodies and spinoffs on this book than any other book. In fact, in 2016, there was a movie entitled Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Don't watch it. So in chapter 13, we're in the upper room for the Last Supper. And the last week, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We're going to probably circle around to that. But when you picture the Last Supper, don't picture a long table with everybody sitting on one side of the table like they did in Europe in the Middle Ages. Instead, picture them reclining around a small central table. And if you have that picture in your mind, it's going to help you. John is leaning back on Jesus, and Jesus is handing bread to Judas. And if you don't have that picture, none of this is going to make sense. So I want to read very quickly this passage of Scripture because we got to get out of here. John 13, 18, I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, amen and amen, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. That's God. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, very truly again, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. Now, if you think everybody's eyes are cutting over to Judas, you're wrong. You got to keep reading. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John. That was his characteristic. He wanted to be the one that Jesus loved, and he wanted to love Jesus the most. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Who's the one that's going to betray you? Jesus answered, it's the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, do it quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. And I love this last line. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. Let's pray quickly. Father, we want you to speak to us today through your word, through your Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord, today. We pray that these principles in this message will apply to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're going to talk about these two disciples, Judas and Simon Peter. Now, they are polar opposites. Now, there are two lists of of the 12 disciples, one in Matthew 10 and one in Luke 6. They're the only two lists of the disciples. And guess who's mentioned first in both of them? It is Simon Peter, because he's pretty important. And guess who's mentioned last in both those passages? It is Judas. He is mentioned last. So we're talking about pretense and pride. So here's the point number one. Judas was guilty of spiritual pretense. Now, you may not know what that means, but I'm going to explain it to you. Judas was a false friend to Jesus. Even though he had this honored position, he was next to Jesus for 3 years, but he still betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which is basically today about $100. You can't even fill your car up with $100. Even to this day, the name Judas is not really, you know, parents don't want to name their son Judas because it's synonymous with a betrayal and hatred. He was guilty of pretense. And we, some of us are guilty of pretense too. So we're going to learn some lessons from Judas. Here's the first lesson. You may be acquainted with Jesus, but you may not really be saved. You can know about Jesus, you can talk about Jesus, you can hear a lot of things about Jesus, but that doesn't mean you're truly saved. A lot of times people ask me the question, why in the world did Jesus even choose Judas? Did he know that he would betray him? Of course he knew he would betray him. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, have I not chosen you? And one of you is the devil. The simple reason Jesus told Judas in verse 18, this is to fulfill the scripture. And he quoted in John 12, 18, he quoted Psalm 41, 9. It's amazing. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. You know, David sung a sad song when his son Absalom rebelled against him and he wanted to steal David's throne. That's what the Pittsburgh Steelers do. They just steal everything. They think it's about steal, but they just steal everything. I'm sorry, that wasn't funny. But it broke the heart of David, and this scripture was being fulfilled. You see, in the Old Testament, there are over 100 prophecies about the Messiah, and each one of them, Jesus precisely and exactly fulfilled in the New Testament. So what do we know about Judas? Well, you know what? He was in the inner circle of Jesus. He was with Jesus for 3 years. Think about it. He heard all the words of Jesus. He heard every parable. He heard every teaching. And you know what? Judas even heard more teaching from Jesus than we have access to in the Bible, because it says not everything Jesus said in 3 years was recorded in the Bible. And so this lets us know that you can be familiar with the Word. You can be acquainted with the Lord and possibly not be saved. Judas saw every miracle. He was there when Jesus turned the water into wine. He was there when Jesus skied without a boat. No rope, no skis. He just walked on the water. Judas was there when he said to the dead man, Lazarus, come forth, and he watched that dead man walk out of that tomb. He was there. He saw all the miracles, and yet he still betrayed Jesus. And there might be some of us in this room or watching online, you might consider yourself a skeptic. Maybe you're not really into faith. Maybe you've had the thought, if I could just see Jesus with my own eyes, maybe I'd believe. If I could just hear his voice with my own ears, maybe I would believe. Are you sure? Because Judas heard every word. He saw every miracle, and yet he still didn't believe. And so the lesson here, I mean, I got to tell you, not every single church member is saved. Matthew 13, Jesus says, the devil has come into the church, has planted weeds along with the wheat. The Christians are the wheat, and the fake Christians are the weeds. And he says, it's not our job to pluck up the ones that we think are weeds. That's not our job. But the Lord's going to do that at the end. And we know there are many people who are church members who've never been saved. Throughout my ministry, there are hundreds of people who are on the church roll, but they've never truly been saved. You know why? Because going to church doesn't save you. Walking down an aisle doesn't save you. Reading the Bible doesn't save you. Getting baptized doesn't save you. I heard an old country preacher say one time, you can be baptized so many times in a farm pond until you know every catfish by its first name, and you still may not be saved. Some of us say, if I could just see it, if I could just hear it. Friend, that's not faith. That's sight. And so what we're learning, the amazing thing is, Judas fooled all the other disciples, because when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, they all looked around, and who is it? Most of them suspected Simon Peter, who was always shooting off his mouth, and they didn't suspect Judas, because Judas fooled every one of them except Jesus. Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people all the time, you can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And we need to add to that, you can never fool God. The truth is, you can be acquainted with the things of the Bible, you can be acquainted with Jesus, and still not be truly saved. Here's a second lesson about pretense. When you reject Jesus, your destiny is darkness. I love that last verse I read. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. It was dark. John's talking about physical darkness, and he's also talking about spiritual darkness. Jesus had already claimed that he was the light of the world, but Judas left that dinner, and he walked out into the dark, and guess what? It kept getting darker. The next day, he committed suicide, and he even went to a darker place. The Bible talks about how darkness is associated with sin. Three times in the book of Matthew, Jesus says that hell is a place of outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I say that because you know what? I've had a lot of people tell me, I don't care. You know, I'm probably going to hell. It doesn't bother me at all. Why doesn't it bother you? Because that's where the party's going to be. That's where the bright lights are going to be. That's where all the music's going to be. We're going to party on. Friend, the Bible says it's a place of deep, deep loneliness and utter darkness and separation from God. Peter mentions at the end of the New Testament, those who don't accept Jesus, this is what he said. These people are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. I love this. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. So what is the Bible telling us? Well, the next day, Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to die for you and for me. And 3 days later, he's going to come back out of that grave. The same day, the next day, Judas dies. We see the end of Judas' life. The Bible says in Matthew, he was full of regret and remorse. But friend, I got to tell you, regret is not repentance. He tried to give the money back. The religious leaders, they wouldn't accept it because it was blood money. Judas threw the money at them and he went out and hanged himself. And the real darkness started to begin. There are people today who I think are like Judas. They're just pretending. Counterfeit Christians. You know, I read something a little about Barbara Bush, and she apparently had a great sense of humor, and she liked to tell this story all the time about a man who was a veterinarian, but he was also a taxidermist. And she would always say, the slogan for his business is, whatever happens, you're going to get your dog back. A lot of people think we're saved, but they've never truly been transformed. And that was Judas's problem. He heard the word of God, he had information, but he never experienced transformation. And friend, I want to tell you, it is not too late for you to make a decision to give your heart to Jesus. Have him come into your life and change your life, transform your life. That is the example of pretense. That's what Judas was all about. I want to read to you about Peter in verse 36. This is crazy. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you can't follow now, but you'll follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. So Peter, number two, was guilty of spiritual pride. He was so full of himself. He was so arrogant. I will die for you, Lord. Peter says, he was riding a big high horse. He said, all these other guys will leave you, but I'll never leave you. And Jesus said, Peter, before the sunrise, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. So what can we learn about Peter's pride? Letter A, we are often too proud to admit our weakness. You see, pride makes you blind. When you're a proud person, you can't see it yourself, but everyone else can see it. And the terrible thing about pride is that sometimes a person never even knows they have it until they fall, stumble, crash. And it will happen. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's a fable that I was reading about, and it's about two ducks and a frog. Two ducks and a frog, and they lived in the same pond, and they were talking to each other. Because it's a fable. They were talking to each other. And then there came a big drought, and the pond started drying up, and it got smaller and smaller. And the duck said to the frog, hey, there's no problem for us because we can just fly to another pond, but you're going to dry out, you're going to die, and you're not going to be able to hop to the next pond. And the frog came up with a brilliant idea. He said, I got this idea. Why don't you take a stick and put it in your bills, and I will just latch on to the stick, and you can fly me to the next pond. And the duck said, that's a great idea. We're going to do that. Picture this, two ducks flying out with a stick, and the frog is in the middle hanging on to the stick. And they're flying over a farmer's house, and the farmer looks up and says, wow, what a great idea. Whose idea was that? And the frog couldn't resist. He said, it was my idea. And he fell and he died. It's amazing what can be accomplished if you don't care who gets the credit. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. We know what's happening later this night. Peter denies Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And here's the second thing about pride. Jesus doesn't give up on us when we fail. You need to circle that. You need to put that in your Bible. You need to underline that. You got to remember this. Jesus said to Peter, I know you. And I know Judas. You know what he said about Judas? I will go as it is written, but woe to him who betrays me, for it would have been better if he had not been born. What's the only thing worse than not being born? I'll tell you, it's living and dying without Jesus. Jesus knew Peter would bounce back. He knew that. Luke gives us great insight in chapter 22, verse 31. I'm going to read it quickly. Simon, Simon, this is Jesus talking. Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, or you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, when you have turned back, and that's basically the word for repentance. That's what we all got to do. He says, when you turn back, you've got to strengthen your brothers. And that's what he did. Judas sinned, felt regret, but he never repented. And he went out and killed himself. He had no faith in Jesus. Peter repented of his sins. The Bible says he wept bitterly, and God restored him. The Lord restored him to a place of leadership and service. Yes, both of them died. Judas hung himself. The Bible doesn't tell us how Peter died, but the early church fathers tell us that Peter was a great preacher, and he led many people to Christ. And finally, he got arrested by the Roman authorities, and they wanted to crucify Peter, and Peter said, I got to tell you, I don't want to be crucified the same way that my Lord was. And he requested to be crucified upside down, and that's how they crucified him. The Bible is full of people who failed, and yet God still restored them. We've all failed, but God wants to restore you. I mean, Abraham in the Old Testament, he was the greatest man of faith. But he lied twice about his wife. What? Jacob lied to his dad, cheated his brother out of his birthright. Moses committed murder. David sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. All these Bible characters and many more failed, but they weren't a failure. Why? Because God restored them. Don't let your failures define your life. You can't do that. God wants to restore you and use you in a mighty way. As we circle back to that upper room, the Bible says Jesus stood up And it says very plainly, he removed his outer garments and he laid them to the side. Can you imagine this? The night before he's going to be crucified, he puts a towel around his waist. He has a basin of water and he sits down. He gets on his knees and he's washing all the disciples' feet. Can you believe that he washed Judas's feet and Peter's feet? You know what he was doing? He was acting out because that was the last chance of God's redemption. Judas could have said, oh, man, I'm such a loser, but Lord, you're doing all this for me. I'm going to change my life. But he didn't. He wanted 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. Philippians 2 says, the beginning of the beginning, he was seated on the throne of heaven. Jesus was. He was the second person of the Godhead. He was co-equal and co-eternal with God, God the Father, and God the Spirit. He was sitting on the throne. And there was massive army of angels and other heavenly creatures that were worshiping him. But you know what happened when he came to planet Earth? He stood up and he laid aside his garments of glory. He divested himself in the full benefits of deity. He stepped from the throne and he lowered himself to become a human being. And his time on earth, he was a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, not just any death, but death on the cross. And what he did that night in the upper room, I'm going to tell you, he's done the same thing for you, and he's done the same thing for me. Just as he got off that couch to help the disciples, he got off that throne of heaven to help us. Just as Jesus got down on the floor to serve those disciples, he got up on that cross to save you. Just as Jesus poured out that water to clean the feet of the disciples, he poured out his blood to cleanse you from your sins. And you got to know that death wasn't the end of the story. It was just the beginning, because God raised him from the dead and he restored his glory. We read last week, Philippians 2:9, that God has given him the highest place, the name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every tongue's going to confess in heaven and on earth. And it says, under the earth. They're going to confess. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, that night Jesus said, Peter, where I'm going, you can't go with me now. What was he talking about? He's talking about death. But he said, one day you will follow me. He said, Peter, it's not your time to die yet, but one day you will die. And you know that that could be said of every single one of us. Mortality rates, they don't change. One person, one death. Hebrews says, just as people are destined to die once, after that, to face the judgment. You know, when I go on an airplane, there's usually an agent that says, what's your final destination? And I usually want to say, well, my final destination is heaven. But that's a little too cheesy. I normally say Dallas, Fort Worth, Phoenix, Denver, wherever I'm going. But I want to ask you, where's your final destination? There are only two choices according to the Bible: heaven or hell. And it's crazy to me sometimes. They say something like, well, this life is hell. No, my friend. Hell is a trillion trillion times worse than the worst experience you've ever had in this life. And some people, they go to Tahoe and they play golf and they think, oh, this is a heavenly experience. Not really. Heaven is a trillion times better than the best experience you've ever had in this life. So those of you who do not know the Lord, in this life right now, you're basically as close to hell as you ever get. But those of you who know the Lord, this life is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. And this is the important thing. The good news, you can change your final destination. It's up to you. You can repent. You can confess. You can give your life to the Lord, and He will come into your life, and He will change your life. And friend, you can do it right now. You can walk down an aisle. You can give Him your heart. You can follow Him. You can repent. You can be baptized. You can change your ways like Peter did. And if you would place your faith in Jesus today, you can change your final destination to heaven. So I'm going to ask you right now, will you follow Him? Will you pursue Him? Will you chase Him? That's what we need to do. We're going to stand. Trevor's going to lead us in this song. And I just hope that some of you will make some sort of decision today.